Good afternoon. Hope you all are having a great day, and I would like to speak to you a little bit this afternoon concerning instrumental music in the worship service. Obviously, when I say that, I'm not talking about whatever kind of music you might listen to, in your daily life, like, country, rock, or whatever. That's a totally other subject, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what I'm talking about today. I would like to speak to you about this subject not to offend you, but rather because we all have a desire to serve God, and we serve in ways that are different. One person thinks that they're serving by doing one kind of worship, another thinks that they're serving by doing a different kind of worship. Obviously, not every kind of worship is acceptable to God, because if God just accepted anything in worship, then anybody could, like the Muslims, do just anything and say, well, this is what God has delivered me to do. I can still remember the Iranians over there when they took our hostages back around, 1980. And they were just beating themselves up. They'd take some chains and they'd whop their backs and everything. And they'd talk about how great God was. And this was supposed to be, I guess, some form of worship to them. Well, obviously, God never told them to whop their backs and praise Him. But they seemed to think that beating themselves up was the way to go about worshiping God. Well, I believe that we can find some better direction than that in God's Word, don't you? So let's see exactly what God wants us to do concerning how we worship Him with respect to music. It is a very popular thing, music is, and that part of our worship just dominates some people's religious thoughts. There's only one thing about it, of course, is that that's only one part of our worship. There are many other parts, the prayer, the preaching and studying, the Lord's Supper, and so on and so forth. But this part of worship, the music, is where we have so much disagreement. A lot of people say, I love the idea of having the drums and the guitars and so forth. Others say, well, I just like a little piano or an organ over in the corner. Whatever it is that your desire is in worship, what we really want to do is just serve God. If that's all of us together, if that's what our desire is, then we can find in the Scripture what direction we need to go in when it comes to instrumental music in the worship. Let's consider for just a moment a couple of passages in the Bible. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, also Colossians 3 and verse 16. Now you can look those up at home. Maybe you're on the road right now, or you can open up your Bible and study on them on your own time. Both of these passages are similar, and these are the only passages that tell us, I mean directly tell us in the sense of a commandment, exactly what to do with respect to music and worship. Because in the New Testament, the Lord talks to us in these two passages telling us that we are to sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as we sing these praises unto God, and that when we do so, that we're to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3, verse 17, that we are to do it with grace in our hearts or making melody in our hearts, as you look at these two passages in Ephesians and Colossians, and that when we do so, of course, we are directing our singing and praise unto God. So, these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we sing and direct our praise unto God with, did he say anything in that passage about using any particular instrument other than our heart? You see, he just doesn't mention it. It's not any desire to be down on any kind of instrument itself. I don't have any feelings pro or con when it comes to religion concerning, any particular instrument of music itself, but inside the worship service, if God had wanted me to use that instrument other than my heart, then I would use that instrument. But what does the Lord say? He says that we are to sing. There's our verbal expression. He says what we are to sing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Once again, read Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. He tells us the right instrument to use, that is, sing, making melody in your heart. Sing with grace in your hearts, he says. And we are to sing, of course, with the right object, that is, God is the object of our worship. As others hear us singing, we are ultimately directing that worship, of course, to God. So, all of these things are instructed, and we follow them in the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, and we all just simply agree that that's a good thing to do. Nobody says it's bad to sing. And yet a lot of people disagree with and say, well, I just don't think that you all have it right. You're not opening yourself up to every possibility of serving God because you don't use the instrument of music. And all I would like to do is to get some people to understand why at Mount Gilead Church of Christ we do not use the instrument in our worship service itself. Okay? It's true. The Bible does not say don't use it. The Bible, you're not going to read that anywhere in the Bible. But is that really the point? You see, in Genesis chapter 6, and you look in Genesis 6, down around verse 14, the Lord was giving some instruction unto Noah, telling him about how to make an ark. And he says, make an ark of gopher wood. Now, what if Noah had decided, you know, gopher wood would be fine. I want to put some gopher wood in it, but I'd also like to make the ark out of some oak. Well, would God really like that? God told him, make an ark out of gopher wood. God said, sing. And somebody says, well, but I believe that I can do it, you know, some other way. Oh, the person says, by the way, preacher, you're missing out on this. In the Old Testament, there's all kinds of instruments there. That's what they worship God with. Yeah, the Jews did, but we don't worship like the Jews did. We don't have animal sacrifice. We don't have incense and all that stuff, so that's beside the point. How another person made a boat is beside the point. God told Noah to make a boat. What's he going to make the boat out of? You know, how his neighbor makes a boat is, you know, his own neighbor's business, right? God told Noah to make a boat. He said, make it out of gopher wood. Now, is Noah going to use gopher wood and only gopher wood? Or is he going to branch out on his own and decide, well, I'll just throw this, that, or the other in it? What's God going to be happy with? I believe Noah made it just like God said, out of gopher wood. And God didn't have to tell him, don't make it out of this wood, that wood, or the other. He just simply did what God said. That's all we want to do at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, just what God says. If he says worship God by singing in the New Testament for his church today, then that's exactly what we do. Rooms, he says, thou shalt make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. What if, instead of adding to, Noah was looking around him and said, you know, I'd like for there to be at least one room where that outside wall there, as you, you know, face toward the outside of the ark, just doesn't have any pitch in it. I mean, after all, that's kind of monotonous. So he leaves that one room to where it doesn't have any pitch. Now, whether or not he springs a leak in that room is beside the point. God said, pitch it within and without with pitch. And if Noah decides, well, I'm going to leave off on doing what God said in this one room, well, what if he does it on two rooms? What if he does it on three rooms? You see, the attitude that somebody can take away or add to what God said is a dangerous one, because you start applying that to other things in life, and you'll end up to where you just aren't really doing anything that God says when it comes to any matter, whether it's of worship or of any part of life. In 2 Kings, this is also an Old Testament example. In 2 Kings chapter 5, and as you look in verses 10 through 14, the reason I use these Old Testament examples is because the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we, through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, the things that are taught unto us there, might have hope and understand what the Lord wants us to do. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, we find the case beginning in verse 10, where it says that, maybe I should back up a little bit. It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter. So there was a letter that came to him, and he rends his clothes, and he says, you know, I can't help this man that was sent to me. He needs to be cleansed. And so then they have to send for a prophet. And this man that needed to be cleansed, his name was Naaman, he comes to the prophet. And so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, that's 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 9, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha, great prophet of God, wonderful man. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, and he said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and he said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and he'll stand, and he'll call on the name of the Lord his God, and he'll strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not the rivers of Damascus, Abana, and Pharpar better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and he went away in a rage. This is how exactly people receive the instruction of God today. God says to do something. They say, I don't think that's reasonable to me. Behold, I thought. I think it's a better idea. I think it keeps our voices in tune, and I think that it makes everything work out more smoothly if we use the instrument in worship. But you see, it's not about what I think in religion. It's about what God says. And so his servants came near to Naaman, the man who rejected the instruction of God, and they said to him, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather when he said to thee, wash and be clean? So he turns around and he actually does what God said to do. It's not a question of God saying, thou shalt not do this. It's not a question of him saying, don't go and dip yourself in the rivers of Damascus. It's just doing what God said. And all we want to do at the Mount Gilead Church is what God says. I am afraid to pray outside of Jesus Christ. So when we pray through Jesus Christ unto God, because that's what God says do. I am afraid to go outside of what God said in the music of the church. And so when God says sing, that's what I do. I am afraid to go outside of preaching the Bible, and so I just preach book, chapter, and verse, because if I go outside of that, then, you know, where's that going to lead me? Is God happy with that? He didn't say to do that, so I stick with what God says do. I am afraid not to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and to take of it in the way that God said to do it. I don't want to add chicken and dumplings or whatever on the Lord's table, because that's not what God said to partake of. I just want to do what God says. Is it wrong to love God so much that you want to do exactly what He says? Is it wrong to have the attitude of, speak, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I want to do? That's what we intend to do every single week at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. It has nothing to do with a more holy than thou attitude. It has nothing to do with the desire to have a cappella singing to say it sounds prettier or something like that. It has nothing to do with it. All it has to do with is saying my intention is to do right. I want to know that God likes what I do. I know He likes singing because He said so. Colossians 3 verse 16, Ephesians 5 verse 19. Are you sure He likes what you do when you worship? Think about that. And if there's any way that we can help you at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, give us a call or come by and see us. For the Mount Gilead Church, I'm Tim McHenry.